Welcome back to the Pesky Report, everybody. This is episode 356, brought to you by Beyond the Monster. Today, it's just me and Doink. And before we get into it, please make sure to give us a follow on social media. Stay in touch with us. We're on Twitter, Instagram, at Pesky Report. And if you have an extra second to leave a rating or review wherever you are listening, we certainly appreciate it. And we thank you very much for even tuning in. Doink, how are you feeling after this disappointing series loss to the Rays?
Oh, I'm so great. I just want to thank Kenley Jansen and Phil Cuzzy for wasting my evening. It's like, it's to an insane degree.
My special thanks is going to go out to Pete Fatsy for once again failing to teach our team how to hit runners in when they're in scoring position. And
they got to do their own job too. It's like, it's so bad. Just everyone fucking do your jobs. You shouldn't need your hitting coach to tell you how to drive a runner in. Like, that shit is the runners in scoring position thing with this team is like getting to the point where it's starting to just be funny, like how they only hit solo home runs. Like, it's like I don't even get excited I didn't get excited for any solo home runs this series particularly, just because it's like, cool. You had the bases loaded 3 innings ago.
Right.
Like, it's a sick joke. It's a sick little joke right now. And I'm really looking forward to, we'll talk about this later, but I'm very much looking forward to facing a not good team.
Yeah, it will be a nice change of pace. Now, up to this point, the Rays honestly haven't been that good of a team. Yeah,
they also weren't that good of a team, but they have the divisional devil magic against us that just never goes away.
They also have that.
Everyone takes turns owning each other.
This is true. This series could have very easily swung one way or another.
Also, that's also why I'm annoyed. 4 insanely winnable games. Like, the biggest win margins was 2 both times. It's like, and then it was 2-1 run wins. It's like, okay.
Yeah, it's very evenly matched. I actually was thinking of that as we left as we left the game tonight. I was thinking, okay, they just moved up to 500. We just fell to 500. Like, that's pretty fair. But all things considered, like, and I know this is like more of a big picture take, and it's frustrating because we watch them all. But on paper, if you said the Red Sox are tied for third, or I guess they're not technically tied for third. I think the Rays are technically ahead of us now. But if you're like, oh, the Red Sox and the Rays are battling it out for third place in the division, you would be like, that's not bad preseason, right?
That was my preseason prediction.
Right.
My preseason prediction was Jays in the basement. And so far, I am being finally rewarded from everyone. Jays haters are such real ones, because we've been Jays haters for a long time. And they keep, like, the Jays keep sneaking in just to, like, the level they need to, like, keep everyone believing in them and being like, no, they'll be a World Series team this year. And it's finally happening, and I'm so happy.
Do you think that it's an absolutely 0% chance that they don't try and trade for Justin Turner?
The Red Sox?
Yeah.
That would be so sick. I don't know where he would play, but...
Well, I mean, right now he could play first base, obviously.
Like a May trade for Justin, or a June trade for Justin Turner. I don't think the Jays are going to sell that.
Well, you just wonder if... Like, thinking about it from, it's a 1-year contract that JT signed over there. Casas is coming back, but is he going to be coming back in full swing? Are they going to, want to bolster that spot? Yeah. They already had eyes on him for a while. And right now, they have both Dom Smith and Garrett Cooper neither of which are any help to them from a flexibility perspective. And apparently now Romy Gonzalez plays first base. So you get rid of one of those two guys or both of them when Casas returns. And then, you know, at least JT can play third base once in a while. There you go. Man,
I don't want to get all excited about that because that'll never happen, but that would be so fun.
Hey, they traded for John Farrell. They got a good relationship with that front office over there, you know?
That's true. I don't know about, like, yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I would love it. I just to have him on the team. Just that's great.
They would have to
for the Netflix doc. Just that's great.
It would. the tears of joy as they you know, bring him into the fold and he welcomes his baby boy in Boston.
Oh my god.
You know. Just that would go a long way. We can free Courtney Turner from having to sing the Canadian national anthem in Canada.
She have to do that.
She slays at singing apparently, but we can you know, get her back to singing the good old.
I mean, what's better than having your baby at Mass Gen? Everyone's dream.
It's one of the best, honestly.
Oh man, that would be sick. I wish. Yeah,
so
I wish.
We would have to, unfortunately, DFA Dom Smith to do that, though, because the number two, you know, he can't keep it.
Stake through my heart. I love Dom Smith.
Yeah, that wouldn't, he wouldn't, unfortunately, wouldn't stick around in that situation. But one can only hope and dream. Justin Turner.
The Jays being sellers at the deadline is going to be a movie either way. So.
Yeah, I honestly was thinking about that and was watching some content from a couple other major league podcasts, and they were talking about the Jays, you know, what extent should they try to capitalize on what seems to be the end of their, like, contention era? Is it going as far as, you know, Vlad Guerrero Jr. before? I think he's not a free agent this offseason, but next offseason.
Yeah.
Do they want to get ahead of that, you know, this offseason and try to capitalize similar to, you know, the Red Sox with Mookie? Do they want to get ahead of Kevin Gausman? If they know that their window's closing, like, take advantage of that, sell high. Romero, their closer. You know, Justin Turner obviously is a rental piece. Like, there's a lot of moving parts over there that I think don't really make a lot of sense long term, perhaps, and could be interesting pieces. Not that the Red Sox, I think, are going to be moving for any of those long term types, but you never know.
Yeah, they kind of, like, their window got really funky. Like, their pitching and their hitting windows just didn't line up, and they were just completely different. Like, if you had the pitching from, like, this current team with, like, the lineup of the Jays, like, 6 years ago, it would have been crazy, but nope.
Let me just see what Kevin Gausman's contract looks like here, because he was an Andrew Bailey guy, too, now that I think about it. So he signed a 5-year, $100 million contract. What a steal.
Yeah, so he's a free agent in 2027.
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah, at 22 a year. That's so crazy.
All right, let me ask you this. Would you hypothetically trade?
Yes. For Kevin Gausman, yeah.
Would you trade Marcelo Meyer?
Yes.
Done. All right, pack it in, ship him over here, and send in Justin Turner.
Unfortunately. That's probably one of the few. That's a good amount of control, and then with a competent pitching coach, it's like you can really maximize the back end. How old is he?
Kevin Gausman.
Am I actually gonna take it back? I think I still would do it.
He's 33.
Okay, so I thought he was 30.
I mean, he was 30 when he signed the deal 3 years ago.
Yeah, for some reason, I thought he was younger. I would maybe probably still do it. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's just look at the tier here. Are you saying, like, maybe knowing his age, you wouldn't trade Meyer for him?
I said yes so instantly because I did think he was 2 or 3 years younger.
Because, like, in my mind, I'm thinking that he, like, with how far away the Blue Jays are from contending again, I could see them needing to rebuild in some key areas. And whether that's a large package deal for a couple of guys that are like mid-range, I could see them moving him for Blaze Jordan, a combination
Okay. You know, I think I have to say no just because I am a hater. I hate the Blue Jays so much. And seeing Marcelo Meyer be their franchise shortstop, because I really fucking hate Bo Bichette, that would break me. And I actually need to say no to that specific transaction just for, like, that would be tough. that would be really tough just watching that.
But just, I was thinking about that just now, and the image just flashes, like, Bo Bichette plays second base, Marcelo Meyer plays shortstop, and think about how good the hair combination would be. I know.
Yeah, you can't let that happen. No. But also, they might just turn him into a noodle bat. So they tend to do that. It's true.
They do nerf their players and their pitchers sometimes. Yeah. Alex Manoa. Oh, man.
I would love...
Actually,
yeah, my baseball team.
Who is the fattest player in our system? Because we know the type that the Blue Jays are looking for.
Our whole system.
Yeah, who could we ship over there?
Oh man, I think it's Raffy.
You think it's who?
I think it's Raffy.
No way. It's gotta be Kenley.
Yeah. It's 2024 Kenley. He's in horrible shape. That's so true.
It has to be, just looking at him. Like, there's no way it's
not. I mean, they can have Kenley. I'm fully at the point where I'm mad that they didn't trade Kenley in the offseason, because dude does not give a fuck.
If it's not a save situation, I'm starting to think that if he's not a save situation where he can pad his all-time stats for saves, then he does not try. That's honestly what it is, because he comes in a tie game. So what? He gets the loss, he gets the win. So what? But he comes in with a save opportunity where he can climb that ladder. Boom, 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 boom. Lights out.
Yeah. It's annoying. And if he's begrudged because they didn't trade him, like, that's so fair, but you're not, like, making it any more, like, you're not making it easy on yourself by not going out there and competing. And, like, sure, you guys miss spots, but, like, you're letting guys hit these dinky little fly balls. It's, like, just because you're missing, just, like, oh, it's really frustrating. It's so frustrating. No,
you're definitely right. And, like, I've started to turn the page on Kenley. Like, prior it to sucks.
I loved Kenley.
Yeah, and, like, when he came in the other night and he just, like, blew everyone away, I was like, yes, that was sick. And prior to the series, you know, the last couple of save opportunities that he had, it was shut down. And he had that one game where it was not a save opportunity, and he came and gave up 2 runs, but everyone was like, yeah, it's not a save opportunity. Like, he was just getting his work in. I was on board with that, you know, and it's frustrating to see him come out there and just kind of lose focus. And there was a lot of other opportunities. Like you said, he shouldn't have been in there in a tie game. It should have been, you know, when was it Dom Smith came up with the bases loaded? Guaranteed we weren't going to score there, right? Like, it's frustrating. And I did look up the active roster. Kenley is the heaviest person on the active roster, just to put on that.
I forgot that they have listed weights. We can literally just go by that.
Yeah, there's no way to sort them, unfortunately. But Kenley does weigh a good, like, 30 pounds more than the next closest person. He weighs close to 270. The next closest is, like, 245, which is Casas.
He's also pretty tall, right?
He's listed as 6'5". So, I mean, I guess he's pretty tall.
Yeah.
That's but, like, tall. Lucas Giolito is 6'6", and he weighs, you know, 20 pounds less than him. So, it's a tall guy.
Giolito to pitch on this team.
I fully believe that he will be dominant when he's back. Yeah, and I'm excited for him to pitch next year.
Very excited.
You know what else I'm excited to see? Freaking Liam Hendricks when he comes back.
We got all the woke Sox coming back. We got Liam Hendricks, Lucas Giolito, and Chris Murphy coming back.
Chris Murphy next year.
Dragging.
Yeah, I did. What's butt kicker?
Butker.
I always thought his name was butt kicker. Yeah, it's
pretty.
But it's because he's a kicker. That's yeah. why I think I thought that.
True.
Really, even more than Chris Murphy, appreciated the Chargers social media team for their post.
Their schedule release.
Yeah, if anyone didn't see it, the Los Angeles Chargers released their schedule for the 2024-2025 NFL season, and they did it in the style of The Sims. So they had, like, each team that they're playing had, like, a little scene that they made in The Sims, which was
so well done. It was in genius. There was so many small details in there that were, like, I watched it 4 times, and I just, like, caught new stuff every time. It was incredible.
Yeah, so that was a great one. There's a little Easter in there.
Yeah,
I don't know if you saw this side tangent on the NFL stuff. There was also the Browns did one that I really appreciated.
I watched them all this morning.
The Browns one, they did like a whole compilation of the teams they're playing as random memes. That was pretty good. I also really loved the Tennessee Titans doing like the on the street interviews with people.
Yeah. It was funny because both New York teams had horrible ones. Like they both did the Giants were just like they had a guy on the street and he just like had a microphone and he was like, "Do you think schedule release videos are cool?" And the people were like, "Yeah, sure," or like, "No," and he was like, "Cool." Like it was so bad and it was like 45 seconds long, and then the Jets. Did I forget the name of the guys? I think they're like YouTube guys, but they had these guys that were like, "Bring me a slice of pizza, and you get like $500 and a plane ticket or whatever." And this, and the guy that does it, it's the Jets doing this, and they're giving away big, like plane ticket vouchers with like the Jets logo on them. And this guy, the first guy to do it, has a Miami shirt on. And they like let the guy win in their video. I was like, "This is crazy."
They're that literally they did advertising that. Another team.
I was like, "That is your like biggest rival." That was crazy. Anyways,
I didn't see that one, but that is pretty funny, actually.
Oh, it was good. It was pretty good.
I like that it's becoming a thing now that like these creative social teams are finding more and more ways to engage. Fun.
People who like hate on it are boring. I think schedule release video day is fun.
Fun fact, if you are looking at getting involved in the Red Sox social media team, they are currently hiring a social media manager and a social media specialist, or maybe a couple. I don't know how many they're hiring. So that's kind of cool. Look on Indeed if you're interested and, apply. And maybe you'll be the one tweeting out great references
final
on Twitter.
Red Sox 5, Rays 7. It could be you!
Also, big shout out to the Woo Sox. Their social team has been killing it with the captions lately.
They did Bobby Dalbec, didn't they?
They did the Bobby Dalbec one. Yeah, Bobby
Dalbec.
They also today, Pablo hit a home run down there and they tweeted out, "We got Pablo." So
I missed that one.
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, that's so great.
Pablo went like 3-for-4 today in AAA. So
I really gotta get out to Worcester specifically to see Pablo.
They're going for a championship run down there.
Love that.
They got Pablo. They got Pablo.
What else? Literally, if you have Bobby Dalbec on your AAA team for the whole season, you will win a championship.
They took all the vibes and they brought them to Worcester. So now that team is going to be dancing. That team's going to be vibing. And they're going to be winning. And they even brought Joelly down there. They literally optioned all the vibes, guys.
True.
Like every single person that you're like, no, he has good vibes.
Bruin down there, just like that's a little confidence hotbed.
Yeah, when they're thinking about like who can they potentially send back down to Worcester and option, they're like, okay, what's his vibes level? If it's too high,
yeah,
send him down to Worcester. I suppose we should probably talk about these actual games a little bit. I did want to talk about Jaren Durant.
About what?
Did you notice Jaren Durant?
Oh, Jaren.
You know, that center fielder that we have that like runs fast and stuff.
He does run fast. It's pretty cool.
In case you didn't know this, he started wearing his socks higher the last two games.
I noticed that today. I didn't watch yesterday. And I noticed that today. I was like, I followed on my phone. I was busy.
I'm just kidding.
That I noticed that today and I was like, okay. Did he start that at the beginning of the series?
I literally noticed it yesterday.
Then is that why he's been hot the last two games?
So Red Sox stats took some screenshots. I noticed it yesterday when I was watching because of the socks. I was like, oh, is he kicking his leg higher? And Red Sox stats tweeted out pictures of the last couple games, and his leg kick is significantly higher in the last two games.
He's always been good with that leg kick. Why? Come on.
Yeah. This one, it's like almost as high as his waist. Like he kicks it almost straight up.
Yeah, he probably won't stay like that, but it's a good slump buster.
It seems like he's been shifting and adjusting. I know he had talked about playing with his hands and his swing a little bit. He's adjusted how high he holds his hands, how low he holds his hands, how much movement is there pre-pitch. Just trying to figure something out, but obviously it's working. He's had 5 extra base hits in the last 2 days since he started kicking up higher, including a home run and 4 doubles. So pretty good, pretty good.
I feel like also, even more than the leg kick, I'm looking at those photos now. Mm-hmm. His hands are just, like, that's how he used to, like, hit as a rookie. Like, his hands were kind of in, like, a more forward and up rather than like by his ear. So that's great. I love that.
Yeah, I like that he's, you know, willing to make adjustments mid game, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Dude's like
yeah, and like he's just super fast and like almost all the doubles that he hit off the wall were opposite field, which is sick, because when he starts pulling the ball, it's when he grounds to second base, you know. It's when he rolls over. And to see him going the other way was pretty sick. Obviously, launched a bomb today, which the way that I heard someone describing hitting the opposite way, I want to say it was Middlebrooks maybe, but it could have been Uke, is they were saying, like, when you're trying to hit the ball the other way, it's not just like, oh, if it's there, I'll go the other way with it. It's actually you're trying to hit the ball the other way. And then if you're ahead of the pitch, you can still pull it. So like that's the way like they were explaining.
It's an after contact thing, not like you're aiming to hit the ball. It's like such a split decision. Yeah, that's, man, hitting a baseball is so hard. That's so crazy.
It's very difficult. And wild. Like, I'm thinking about some of these guys that are out there throwing 100 or 87, but it looks exactly the same coming out of the hand. It's like,
if Yon Duran threw a pitch near me, I would cry. Like, he could make me cry by just like pitching to me. That's insane to fathom.
Him and like Mason Miller. Have you seen any of Mason Miller's stuff? I've
seen, yeah. Oh my that God. Kid's crazy. I hope the A's don't trade him.
Yeah. He
like that's I know they should, but I think it would be cool if he stayed with the A's for a little bit. Because the A's like don't suck right now.
Low key, the A's have been better than the Red Sox for the past 2 weeks. Three weeks. Since we played them, I'm pretty sure they have a better record than us.
Oh, I didn't realize they've lost a little bit. They're 19-27 now. I thought they were like at 500. But
They definitely have had a better record than us since we played them then. Because when we played them, they were 1-5 or 1-6. No, they were 1-5. And so if they are now just one game under 500 and we are 500.
No, they're 19-27. They're
oh.
No, okay. They're not. Yeah.
In my head, I was still thinking we were at like 20-20 was like the record. So that's that's on me.
22-22. There we go.
Okay. Wait, how many wait. They've lost how many games have they played?
Yeah, they've played a lot of games.
How have they played so many games?
I don't know. I guess.
Oh.
That's actually crazy. Have we just not played a lot? We had a lot of off days.
They did say something like we're playing like 21 games.
Or four off days.
Like last week we had two off days just last week alone. Like in between the two game series with the Braves.
I didn't like that.
Yeah, that was annoying. I can't believe
that's so unnecessary. That's just like no baseball team needs 2 days off in a week.
And I mean, I guess the good news
you're gonna pay for that later because it's like you're taking that extra day out that you didn't need out of like a future stretch. Annoying.
Yeah, it did come at a good time for us, like not necessarily like for a team, but like with our injuries, because that was right when they were transitioning the like two bullpen games a week to like getting those out.
A little.
I want to go out of order here.
Yeah.
I wanted to go out of order a little bit and talk about the bullpen game today, which is what it ended up being. How in the world did Cooper Criswell get to 100 pitches by the fourth inning?
Because the Rays are so annoying.
The Rays,
the at-bats they take are so brutal. It's just like they can just grind. And they were doing all their little dinky, like that whole comeback they had was just dinky little hits.
It was so bizarre because I knew Cooper Criswell wasn't dealing today. Mm-hmm. I listened to the first inning on the radio. And he dealt the first inning. But then after that, it seemed like he was kind of all over the place.
They were also just kind of, they weren't taking any of his stuff wasn't moving great. So they weren't biting on any of it. And he was just walking everybody.
Yeah, the walks were a problem. High pitch count early. But I was expecting to be in the fourth inning and look up and it'd be like 80 pitches and be like, man, he's at 80 pitches already in the fourth inning. I couldn't have been more shocked to look up and be 96 pitches in the fourth inning. I'm like, what in the world?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it because they hadn't pushed him past the fifth inning at all to see him out at 90 plus pitches and still throwing. I literally couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
But
I remember like looking up in like the third inning and I was like, oh, that says 70 pitches. Okay. I was like, this is not ideal. But yeah, that's gonna happen.
No, he was bound for regression. I mean, he'd had six amazing starts in a row. His ERA is still sitting at a 2.76 on the year. Only three of the runs he gave up were earned.
We'll certainly so, take that.
Yeah, I mean, we'll take that for sure. He actually only had two walks today, which felt like more.
It felt like so many more. I think it was like walks and it was singles, like so many like annoying little ugh.
There must have been some errors in there too, because yeah, he only had four hits and two walks, so six total base runners.
I think the reason the walks also felt like more important or more plentiful was they were both like to start innings. So it's like when you start an inning with a walk, you're like, great. Like, we're working extra hard for no reason right now. And that's just that's never how you want to start an inning. And he did it back to back. So,
no, he, I mean, I did think there was a lot of good things to come out of this game. And like, I still trust Cooper Criswell. I still think he should be
still in the Coop troop.
I like the Coop troop memes and everything that's been going around. I would love to see him there. Before we move on from Cooper Criswell, do you think they should keep a six-man rotation going when they bring back Garrett Whitlock, or do you think they should option someone down of those starters?
I think you kind of have to, just like for a little bit, and just let that rock. Try not to kill the bullpen too hard, but I think you can kind of do it for a little bit just to maybe spell some guys, and then make your decision based on one time through or two times through.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to it, especially if they're not going to, you know, option someone like Chase Anderson, because they need him to be able to step up if someone doesn't have a good start and be able to do some bulk. A bunch of guys showed up this week and showed that they are capable of taking big steps forward in big roles. And some other guys showed that they really cannot be overworked. Today, we saw Zach Kelly come out and somehow managed to get out of an inning without a run in an inning where he walked four people.
Yeah, hated that.
That was not ideal. He was clearly gassed. Obviously, his ERA is down to a 1.57. He looked electric in extra innings. He didn't pitch in extra innings, did he? Let me go back and look. In the game we won, he pitched two innings and it was electric.
Zach Kelly is like so sick to watch when he's on, and he's just one of those guys that totally exist that are a little painful to watch when they're off, and that's like fine. Sometimes you wish that you could pull the cord a little bit earlier, but you can't with the rules now, so you just gotta let it rock, because you never know. And like, he doesn't know when he's gonna not be on, because he is a professional and he prepares, and you just sometimes you go out there and you just don't have it.
Sucks. Yeah, and like, they didn't have the bullpen availability after just going 12 innings the other night, and then having Criswell only go 3 2/3 today. Couldn't have been a more brutal ending.
Yeah. That was the first time I think it was the first time this season, if I recall, that a Red Sox pitcher didn't go more than four innings.
Yeah, it was the first time that a starter didn't, but I don't know how that's true, because Chase Anderson definitely didn't go four innings the time against the Indians.
I think that counts as an ooh.
Whoa. Bleep that out. that time against the team formerly known as that.
I think that counts as an opener.
Okay.
I think it was Jen McCaffrey that tweeted that. I think she said non-opener.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I don't remember if Winkowski, I think he might have gone four innings at least in all of his starts too.
Yes.
But if that doesn't count, then you're right. It would have been the first time. So it's a little disappointing considering how good he's been. But
that's the guy that you want that to happen to. Like, no offense to him. It's just like he's kind of the most fresh out of everyone in the rotation. So like, it makes sense he would be the one with growing pains right now. Everyone else is holding it down, so I'm not worried about it.
Speaking of holding it down.
Freaking runs.
Well, they've been holding off on runs for sure. But Bernardino is somebody who has been holding it down. He's electric. I feel like he does pitch every night. And every time that he comes in, the bullpen says, I feel like Bernardino pitches every night.
And he does.
He pretty much does. I don't know that at the beginning of the season, any of us predicted him to have the most appearances in the bullpen so far. He does have 17 appearances so far. Let me see if that leads the bullpen. Actually, Slayton has 15 appearances. Chris Martin has 17 appearances. Jansen has 16 appearances. Interesting. That does surprise me a little bit. I wasn't expecting that. But I bet you Weissert has more. Yeah, Weissert has 18 appearances.
Whoa. That's too many.
I do like Weissert a lot.
I like him because, you know, he's the Schreiber analog. He's just got to clean it up a little bit.
He does.
I'm sure they'll figure stuff out. I'm not worried about it. I'm literally, that's kind of the nice thing about where we are is like, it's a little, I'm not going to freak out about any pitchers until I have like a month plus of like bad going on where I need to freak out. It's pretty nice.
Yeah. So today we had Bernardino. I really like the combination that they used today in the back end of the bullpen in a save situation, going Slayton to Martin to Jansen. That's electric. That 7-8-9 combination is one of the best. And I kind of like this thing where they've been using Weiser to try to get one out. Like if guys can't make it through the six, like I do typically like bringing in Weiser there and just throwing that power sweeper and just getting him out of the inning. I could also see Bernardino kind of working in that role, but those guys have been looking really great. Justin Slayton had one of the nastiest innings of
season. That was so sick. He made them all look so stupid. That was very fun to watch. I love Justin Slayton.
He had a very nasty curveball that he was just, it was so crisp.
Spamming. Yeah, it was great.
This just absolutely filthy fastball at the bottom of the zone to strike out the side. Like it was just, it was electric stuff, but he's looking really good. And then yesterday we had Cam Boozer go for two innings with four strikeouts and
Cam Boozer.
Boozer. He looked pretty good. All aboard the Booze Cruise.
What a cool guy.
Yeah. I think Netflix is going to have a field day with him.
True.
His story. Super
and
cool.
I think he's pitching to stick around. So like that's something you also really love to see. Is just like it might, you know, just ride that till the wheels fall off.
How far we've come where we started the season with one lefty and it was Joely Rodriguez to now have two lefties in the bullpen that we can kind of rely on. It's crazy. Tanner Houck had a great start that was ultimately squandered by our lack of offensive production.
Pretty usual.
That was the usual story. It was kind of sad because he was electric through five. Only one run had been given up. No homer, seven Ks. He did have three walks. He was a little bit loose on the control, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was either two walks in the sixth inning or it was one walk and one hit in the sixth inning before he was pulled out. Ended up getting pulled. Weissert came in, charged with a blown save. Weissert allowed the inherited runners to score as well as one of his own. Must have been an error involved there because they ended up not charging Houck with most of those earned runs.
Yeah,
so
it was that like caught stealing error. Caballero.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was like super weird. So originally they said it was an error on Wong And then they changed it to saying, no, it was a caught stealing and an error on Devers, which is so bizarre.
Yeah, it was like he got, and Wong got the assist. That was annoying. I felt so bad for Tanner Houck watching his face. I always hate watching a pitcher watch their runner score. That's just always sucks, but it extra sucks when it's a pitcher who consistently does not get run support and is also, I think he's also the ace of the staff now by the numbers and just like by the stature. Which is so crazy. I would have thought that you were like saying it in a mean way if you told me that before the season. Like, yeah, Tanner Houck's gonna be your ace. Good luck. It's like, no, he's actually been so nasty.
No, I mean, I it's sad. I like he fails to finish six innings. And I'm like disappointed. It's like crazy.
That's
how
crazy. That's like I never would have predicted that.
He threw 112 pitches too. Like I couldn't believe he was out there that long. Honestly, but they just
not gonna lie, but we're they just
kept going.
Guys are throwing 100 pitches. I mean, I love it because I also am still the geezer who like curses when a guy gets taken out at 86 pitches. But also when I just like the reflex in my brain whenever I see one of like my pitchers going more than 100, I'm like, whoa, 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 what are we doing? Hey. And Cora's been letting it rock recently.
No, he's been managing really, really well and kind of all over the place, but it's worked. We don't even need to talk about the extra inning game and how many position changes happened in that game and what ended up resulting in the victory of the series. He definitely helped out with the managerial side of that game. Like, had he not managed it the way that he did, tough to say if we would have won that game.
Yeah.
But
that was a masterclass.
If we do want to move back to that game, move past the Tanner Houck game, that was just, like I said, it was dominant, but we got to give some kudos to Nick Pivetta as well for his start. He only gave up two runs, and they were both solo homers.
Which is
insane. he's a homer guy, but he had eight strikeouts. He almost pitched six innings. He went 5 2/3. Only four hits and no walks. That was a super encouraging start from him. Mm-hmm. Ended up handing it over to Slayton. Slayton gives up the lead. It was too close of a game. Shouldn't have been that close anyways.
No.
But after Slayton came in and gave up the lead, he then came back out the next inning and like punched out two guys and had a great inning. From that point on, from Slayton's full inning, they proceeded to throw 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 scoreless innings as far as earned runs are concerned after that. So that was pretty sick. And that's tough to do when you're throwing three of those innings with a ghost runner on second every single time. But the bullpen really deserved mad props for their work and their effort in that game. Bernardino throwing an inning, Zach Kelly two innings, Jansen an inning, Martin an inning, and Slayton, of course, like we said, with his full inning that was scoreless after coming in to mop up the sixth. That game was pretty cool. What stood out to you? What managerial move that Cora made during that game stood out to you the most?
Oh gosh. I wasn't ready for that question. I don't know. I mean, I think like Cora's biggest strength as a manager, not to like do this cop out of an answer, but when he manages like the shit out of a game, it's never about like one move with him. Like he is so good at like the big picture thing where he can like play 4D chess in his head. So whenever he has like a well-managed game, I'm just like, wow, that was all one big like attack that you coordinated. And it's always really impressive when you get to see him do that. And he goes into like playoff Cora mode.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And like you saw it in the 12th inning when they, or it was the bottom of the 11th, Raffy made the last out. And then they pulled Raffy from the game to sacrifice his spot as the pitcher now. And then they forfeited the DH. Connor Wong ended up becoming the catcher. And ultimately, the ghost runner somehow.
Yes.
Because he would have been next up. And they were able to shift him down. So he became the ghost runner. And then Romy Gonzalez came up and obviously scored the game winner in extra innings. So it worked out really, really well. And just kind of funny to say, yeah, we're going to pull our best hitter out of the game in extra innings. But it wasn't coming back around and Cora knew it. So it does make sense at that point.
He just does that little yoink. Good shit. He was also great today. I mean, you know, they didn't get the one hit they needed, but like, him getting in there and calling that mound visit was like also just top tier managing shit, because he got in the ump's face because he knew, I just saw a quote, it's like why he was so animated during the mound visit. He said, you got to throw him out right away. He comes in, he gets 8 pitches, and then he goes. That's the way the rule should go. By the time I went out there and argued the rule check, he has time to warm up. Which is such a good point, and that is why Cora was screaming, is because Erasmo got like 10 minutes to warm up, which was ridiculous.
Yeah, because like, while they're waiting for the review, they started having warm up.
That's the whole point of that rule and like the punishment of that rule. Like, it's not a punishment if you get to have a fresh pitcher in there,
right?
Like, who just got to throw 20 warm up pitches. That was just ridiculous.
Yeah, that was a great call. And at one point, I saw him pointing to the scoreboard and said, "How many does that say?"
Yeah,
and I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, the umps instantly realizing that they fucked up and they like couldn't throw him out. That was great.
Yeah, that was pretty. Last bit of pitching to touch on was it was kind of Cutter Crawford's worst game of the season so far. He still pitched 6 innings. Low pitch count. Like, he was in the 6th inning and his pitches were still, I don't even think he hit 90 pitches in that game. But obviously they pulled him after 6 with 4 earned runs. He didn't necessarily have his best stuff. He was getting hit a lot. It was 7 hits in that game. No homers, 6 strikeouts. He was still averaging a strikeout an inning, but 7 hits, 1 walk. Just a lot of dink and dunk on him.
Yeah.
ERA up to 2.24 in the season. I still trust Cutter Crawford. It just sucks to see that he had to have one of his worst games of the year in a game that, you know, was an opener of the series. And I think that set the tone for making it very difficult for the rest of the season for us, for the rest of the series for us.
Yeah. And it was all in the first inning, too. It was like, it was a... 3-run first inning, and it was all just like little like bloop bloop bloop. It was like a triple, which was really annoying. It's just like, you never want, that's just gross.
Then we answered right back, which was the most frustrating thing. Like, Tyler O'Neill came up and finally got people in with runners in scoring position. Shout out to Derek from our podcast, who was sitting on the monster seats when Tyler O'Neill crushed that ball over his head. But yeah, it wasn't enough. Like, I think like that's the thing that I wanted to like highlight with this start for him, was that after we basically tied it back up, brought it back down to 0-0 after that, he did pitch really well and only gave up one additional run in the fourth. Kept his pitch count low, you know, and looked pretty good, but it just sucked that like it was so much at that point. It was very difficult to overcome. Was a one run game until Weissert came in and gave up another run in the 8th. And that was him coming out for a second inning. I don't know if I'd ever seen him come out for a second inning before, other than like, not a second full inning at least. Like, when he had come in for second innings before, it was like he had gotten the last out of the inning before.
And you have to get your 2 more batters, yeah.
You don't have to.
Yeah, you do. If you do one out at the end of an inning, you have to do the next 2 batters.
So I thought that that was the case, but if you look at the box scores, oh, maybe they just didn't actually get the outs. That would make sense. Because I was looking at like the how many innings people pitched, and it was like it didn't match up always to like three, but that makes sense.
Yeah, they probably just didn't get their outs. Which is very annoying because that totally eliminates that kind of gamey move, which is like good and bad. I think I do like it overall, but
I remember back in the day, they used to just be so many pitching changes. There was they would bring these guys in for one batter at a time, and obviously they were
overmanaging is
fresher that way.
annoying. Yeah, it's like I don't know. It's really like a grating experience to watch. It's just like a super overmanaged game where you're like, what are we
I can't believe we're at 50 minutes of this episode already. Like this is,
doing?
we were
We
like, oh, this is
actually,
gonna be
yeah.
short.
I didn't think I was gonna have anything to talk
I didn't, know what we were going to talk about. Let me look over my notes here real quick. I did want to give a shout out to Rafi, two homers, back-to-back
Yes.
games.
We
Finally.
need Rafi hot right now. So bad. Teach everyone
That was
else to be
great.
hot while you're on the plane, please.
This is true. Also, shout out to this one Twitter account that I found that's called Rafael Devers hit a homer today. And they just tweet yes every time he
Yes.
does. Or no, it's did Rafael Devers hit a homer today is the name of the account. And then they say yes when he does.
Love that.
It's phenomenal. So he looked good in this series. We obviously already talked about Jarren Duran. Jarren Duran looked good. And I wanted to give a shout out for Kenley Jansen's 5.28 ERA at Fenway Park. That's per Steve Peralt on Twitter. He had a
Fuck off.
5.28 ERA
Like,
at
get
Fenway
out of
Park.
my face. That's so annoying.
It is a atrocious home showing. So I'm starting to think, hear me out on this one.
Hates the Red Sox.
Well, I mean, we know that, but I'm starting to think at home they use Justin Slayton as the closer. On the road, they use Kenley Jansen as the closer.
What's his road ERA?
It's
I don't.
his actual ERA on the year. Well, I don't know how I'm going to be able to find his road stats for the past 2 years quickly. If you can find it, let me know.
I'm looking on
But
Fangraphs.
the last time I had seen the splits, it was like 5 point something at home and a 2 point something on the road. The last time I had seen
Sheesh.
it.
Let's
Yep,
see.
not ideal.
Oh my God, he has a 0 ERA on the road.
Well, this season, but I meant like since he's been the Red Sox closer.
2023. Last year at 2.59.
Yeah, so it's actually probably lower than that now because we count it this season.
And he had a 4.87 on the road last year.
You mean at
Oh, look
home
at
last
that.
year?
In 2022, he had a pretty similar ERA at home and away.
Crazy.
That's so annoying.
It's possible
Okay,
Kenley is allergic to
granted, I
Fenway.
get it. I get it that Fenway is like a bit of a bandbox, but like,
Does that stop you from walking people?
yeah, no, that's the thing, is like he's not a homer guy. He's like
No.
walk the bases loaded and allow like sac flies. Like his blown saves are excruciating. And it has nothing to do with the dimensions of Fenway Park.
No, it has to do with the
But he'll
dimensions
blame,
of his mind.
I'm sure he'll blame it on it one day.
It's possible he's allergic to Fenway Franks. I'm just throwing that
Don't eat
possibility
him
out
then.
there. We've already established that he is the heaviest person on the team, so maybe that's not a bad idea.
Lay off the Franks.
Lay off the Franks, and
They're killing you, buddy.
they are literally killing us watching you. Not great. So that was my Kenley Jansen bit, and then I did want to shout out our catchers for just absolutely dominating the base paths with their
Yes.
arms.
Reese McGuire today.
Reese,
Connor Wong.
Connor,
Reese McGuire got stat. So close to hitting a home run today. I was so excited.
he almost jacked one out of here. Almost did. I think the stat that I saw, it was either, I tweeted it earlier. It was either 6 of the last 12 or 8 of the last 12. I think it was 8 out of the last 12. Let's just see here. Yep. 8 of the last 12 runners attempting to steal have been thrown out by the Red Sox catchers, which is pretty crazy. That's in the last 6 games. So between the Nationals and now the Rays, 8 of the last 12 runners have been mowed down. So got a couple of cannons out there, and they haven't necessarily been particularly close. Even a couple of them that were challenged held up as well. So big kudos to those guys for holding it down. And
yeah, and shout out to really like Don Grissom.
For what?
I think he's been playing decent. He's been catching the balls. He's been making the tags.
Oh yeah, defensively, he's looked really good.
He's off of those caught. He's been making some really nice tags on those caught stealings. So that's my shout out, and I think he's gonna hopefully beat up on some really bad pitching in St. Louis. And
I think that's all he needs. Yeah, he just needs to get a couple of bad pitchers in there. He needs to just get a couple of knocks. He's not hitting terribly. He's just not hitting well.
His BABIP in clutch moments. I don't even want to look at his BABIP right now. I know it'll make me angry.
Yeah. Also, shout out to, and we've been known haters on this show occasionally. Shout out to David Hamilton for making like an incredible play at second base.
He's been a little sharp recently.
Yeah, I don't remember. It must have been yesterday because it was the Tanner Houck start. Yeah, he like literally made a full-on Superman catch at second base to throw out a guy, and I couldn't believe it. Pretty it was sweet. Like when Emmanuel Valdez just started becoming the second
falling coming
out, yeah. out there. Yeah.
I know, it's like sweet. It's like they get a little bit of pressure on their neck and they're just like, oh, I'm actually a Gold Glover now.
Yeah, we'll take that any day. And then my final thought is that Garrett Cooper finally came in clutch today. He did have a nice big two-run double. And Dom Smith had a two-run double the other day as well. So these guys are – if we can get them hitting, you know,
just like
we can get them hitting.
Be like 90 OPS plus guys and I'm happy.
Yeah. Yeah, like, they can just be
– just be like slightly – just hover around league average and I'm chilling.
Totally fine with that.
Oh, that's a sad bar.
Anything to keep Romy Gonzalez from having to play first base as much as possible.
Mm. Yes.
And this also brings me to question how Rev Snyder's toe is doing, because I'm pretty concerned that he hasn't played first base yet. What is wrong with this man's toe? That's
what I'm saying. Is the toe why he hasn't played first base? But like, why would you be able to play the outfield and not first base?
Great question. Mr. Cora, what say
you? Alex, would you like to answer for why Rob Refsnyder has been working out at first base and hasn't played?
Yeah, they literally throw Romy out there who hasn't played it ever, and they have someone who's played it in multiple games not playing first base. We talked about this last time we recorded, and the answer was, oh, it's because his toe hasn't healed all the way. But like, I'm starting to just wonder, how bad is this toe that he can't play first base? And why can't he just, like, maybe it's his toe that he has to, like, prop up against the base. Mm. So maybe it's a little different. Like, if you're putting that pressure.
Probably, like, I guess there's, like, you could get it jammed easier.
Yeah, you could even get stepped on.
Okay, well, that's fair, I guess. But get your toe better, buddy.
I need someone to look into that for us, because that could potentially help the lineup out a little bit as well. All right. Well, I think that's everything that I really wanted to highlight from this series. Do we want to just kind of look ahead at the upcoming Cardinals series?
The Stinky Cardinals.
Stinky Cardinals. Finally.
Can't wait. This team needs to play a flailing team. Well, hopefully they don't. I would love if they didn't do the thing that they can sometimes do where they make a really bad team look like the Dodgers. So let's not do that because you're facing three pretty whatever starters. The best starter you're facing is Kyle Gibson tomorrow. So, you know, take care of business.
That is the truth. So what are the matchups for the pitchers in this series?
So tomorrow is Bayo versus Kyle Gibson. Then Saturday is Cutter Crawford versus Michaelis. And Sunday is Nick Pivetta versus Matthew Liberatore, who I did not realize was in their starting rotation.
So Kyle Gibson's having the best year out of any of those guys. He's 2-2 with a 3.67 ERA.
Word.
Which last year we would have been like, yes, we want one of those on the Red Sox. This year, not good compared to what we've been doing. So I think we have obviously the chance to not score against them and make them look like an ace.
Yeah, I feel, yeah. I mean, Miles Michaelis has like a 6 ERA and Matthew Liberatore has like a 4.5, but he's like not really a starter. So I feel pretty good about that. I think you'll be able to eat a little bit. Are we getting Liberatore is a lefty, so that'll be the most insane lineup you've ever seen in a series finale. I honestly win the first two games so that Cora can just put out the funkiest lineup known to man just for as a little treat. Like, I love when he does that in a series finale where it's just like, okay, troll lineup. And then they still win by like 5.
Like when he batted Jaron Duran 8th or something the other day.
Sicko mode. I love that Rob Refsnyder was the 3-hitter tonight.
Against a righty, too.
Insane. Insane stuff. But who else is going to go there, I guess?
Connor Wong.
Well, he wasn't playing, but yeah. I love Connor Wong in the 3-hole. Don't get me wrong. That's kind of fun.
That low key slaps. The only difference I would have made was like Jaron Duran in the 2-hole and Tyler O'Neill leading off.
Push everyone down.
Tyler O'Neill, leadoff spot, Jaron Duran, Connor Wong, Rafi, Willier. That's what I want.
That's nice. I never want to take Jaron out of the leadoff spot though, because I feel like you don't want to mess with him.
If it's working, it's working. But then they took him out of there. They took him out of the leadoff spot just the other day. So I'm like,
I know. Well, then... I never like it when they do it.
Yeah.
I think you have to like, that's one of my other, like, I think that might be one of my bigger like red ass takes is you should never change your leadoff hitter unless they're like catatonically bad.
Yeah, that makes sense. Especially with knowing like how much into needing to be like mentally there Jaron Duran is, like,
he's just the fastest dude in the world. Like, you want him to be the first guy on base.
Yeah. And I do really like having Rafaela in front of him because he's also fast.
Yeah.
Like, if you have Rafaela in the 9-hole, that makes a lot of sense as well. So you leave those two guys there, and then let's just figure it out. Like, we got to figure out this middle part, and then we'll be good. I'm going 2 out of 3. I think we can pull 2 out of 3 from this team. Don't want to optimistically pick a sweep.
Yeah, I don't need to be spicy.
Yeah, I learned my lesson on that one. So last time I picked a sweep, they didn't even win. I think they went 1 out of 3 in that series. So hopefully it turns out better than against the Summer Sausages.
Hell yeah. 2 out of 3.
Any closing thoughts?
No. Runners in scoring position deserve to justice for the runners in scoring position. May yep, they find their true. Way home.
I'm right there with you. I also wanted to offer a piece of advice to any Red Sox hitters. Try choking up with two strikes. They say, you know, shorten up your swing, choke up with two strikes. Sometimes that helps you not strike out so much. So, bat on ball, strike out less. Muchas gracias. And yeah, that's all I've got. So on behalf of the Pesky Report, we thank you so much for listening all the way through. I know it's a little bit depressing sometimes when we come off of a series loss that we should have won or at least split the series, and to listen to a Red Sox podcast all the way through to the end. We appreciate you if you're sticking around. You're awesome. And we couldn't do what we do without people listening and you know, just generally enjoying the content that we put out there. And hopefully you do enjoy it. If you have any suggestions on how we can continue to improve, let us know. We would love to hear it, especially if you're listening this far into the episode. We especially want to listen to you because you're someone who listens to an hour plus long Red Sox podcast in the middle of the week or through the weekend. So we really do thank you for your time. And like I said, on behalf of Beyond the Monster, this has been the Pesky Report, episode 356. We will see you next week.